This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
To start our programme today, I'd like to welcome into our studio Karen Chapman. Welcome, Karen.
Hello, welcome. Thank you very much for having me here.
It's a pleasure. Now, you're obviously very enthusiastic about what you do, which is interior design and soft furnishings, as you've been in the business for 25 years. So where did your interest start here?
Well, it kind of happened by accident, really, because I did my degree in stage work. So I was at in Cardiff for several years at the Welsh College of Music and Drama, and I was doing all the backstage stuff. So I was learning how to lights, do the sound, costume design and stage sets and all that sort of stuff. And then when I came out of there with rather a large student loan, I was looking for a job, mostly for the industry itself, but also looking for just something to pay off the loan. So I just started working for a woman who made handmade curtains. So I learnt the craft of making handmade curtains. And then when she felt that I was trustworthy enough to go into people's homes, I loved going into people's homes and thinking, A, either, wow, what a beautiful home, or B, now if they did this or did that, it would look so much better. So that it kind of has evolved. And then I worked for another company for several years before I then got a private contract, which then gave me the impetus to go out on my own.
So is it something you can actually train for, or do you have to have a natural flair for colours which go together and designs which are going to, in certain situations, not work, but in some situations will work?
I think you do definitely have to have a natural flair for it. Yes, you do. You can learn the art and you can learn the processes. But if you don't have a natural flair for it, I don't believe that you would be particularly great at it. Obviously, if you learn it in a step fashion, then you learn the process. But actually, a lot of it is gut intuition and working with the people and learning from them about what their likes are, what they don't like, and actually the dislikes are sometimes more important than the likes.
Yeah. So did you always have a flair for that, do you think? Do you remember when you were younger going into people's homes and thinking, gosh, I wouldn't have that if that was my house?
Oh, do you know what? I realise now, looking back at my childhood, that it's something that I've always wanted to do. Quite often there would be weekends as a teenager that I would ban my mum from my bedroom and I would literally just take the room apart, rebuild it, move the furniture and do all that sort of stuff. And then she wouldn't know what I'd done to the room. And that was before I'd even thought or even considered anything, because when I was back in the 70s, interior design really wasn't up there particularly. A lot of brown and orange, but not a lot of interior design.
And how are you celebrating your 25th anniversary this year?
Well, it's kind of hit off quite quickly, really, because something that I've become involved in because of the year is the Marwell project with the Zany Zebras. I felt that it was time to do something big and get out there. So
yeah, perhaps you could tell us a bit more about the Marwell Zoo project.
Yeah, sure. The Marwell Wildlife, every few years, they do a large project because they're so involved in conservation and looking after the welfare of animals that they do several things continually. But a couple of years ago, they did the Go Rhinos, which were virtually life-size fiberglass models, which were decorated by mural artists. And then they did the Rhino Trail through Southampton through the summer holidays. Now, this year, they're doing the Zany Zebra Trail. So in much the same way, mural artists have been invited to put a design together. And then it's created on a virtually life-size fiberglass zebra, a greavy zebra. I did ask for a Chapman zebra, but unfortunately they didn't do that. And then it's all decorated, and then they're all put on plinths, and then they are put around Southampton for the trail throughout the summer.
Oh, right. So you're actually going to be designing and decorating a large-scale sculpture of the endangered Drevi's zebra.
That's right. Yeah, the
and
Grevy's
what is it
zebra.
Made of, then?
It is fiberglass. It's quite big. It's actually quite intimidatingly large when you realise how much paint and creativity it's going to be. Because it's all very well drawing it on a sketch pad to submit, but when you realise how much that's going to grow when it's actually put into a life-size model of this zebra.
And have you actually completed it already? already?
No, we're at the stage that everybody's at is now, is that the designs have all been submitted for approval. They've all been approved. And then we are just waiting for the go-ahead to actually get our hands on the fiberglass zebras themselves so we can put paint to zebra.
Right. And then these will be displayed throughout Southampton during the summer months, July,
that's right,
August.
Yes. So throughout the summer holidays, they'll do the trail, and then there'll be a lot of publicity so that you can actually do the zebra trail. So
how exciting. And how on earth do you begin to know how to decorate a fiberglass zebra?
Well, you know, I have been asked to do many different things over the years, but the decorating a zebra is the first I've ever done. So it's looking at what we want to represent, how we want to keep the tie with wildlife, and also introduce some of the interior design elements of what I do as well.
So you're going to get your inspiration, you're going out and about trying to get inspiration at the moment?
Oh, Jason is the mural artist who's actually going to put the paint on the zebras. We have been having lots of design meetings, and we keep changing our tack because we have so many ideas. The zebra actually is probably not going to be big enough to put all the ideas on, so we've honed it down, and now we've got quite a very exciting idea, I think.
And you're also a patron of the Marwell Zoo, is that right?
That's right. So I've actually, Renaissance Interiors has actually sponsored it as well, because initially we were going to just submit a design and hope that we would be picked amongst many other artists. But I thought, well, it's my 25th business anniversary. What better to do than support such a great cause? And then it also means that we can put our own design on our own zebra. So it was a combination of the factors. So Jason and I are doing it as a joint project. So
sounds very exciting.
It's great. I'm very excited.
Keep us in touch.
I will. Pictures will be appearing.
Great.
Is Jason one of the members of your team normally then?
Jason and I have worked on and off for about 10 years. He's been my decorator and my fitter. And then he himself was hiding his light under a bushel for some time, because we worked together just on decorating projects. And he just happened to mention one day that he does a bit of mural work, is how he put it. I've always been interested in trompe l'oeil. I actually did my A-level art thesis on trompe l'oeil, so I've always had a bit of a passion for it. And so he showed me his work, and I was absolutely bowled over by it. And I was thinking, why did you not show this to me before? So I've been a bit of a... been trying to get him out there for some time to just show how brilliant he is at what he does. So, yes, we've worked together for about 10 years on and off.
So just finally talking about the zebra project, what happens after the project's over and everything's been seen and they close it down, which obviously they do? What happens to the zebras?
So what happens then is in October they do a charity auction, and then all the zebras are auctioned off. All the money, obviously, that's raised goes back into the Marwell conservation projects, and then whoever... bids and successfully wins their zebra can exhibit them wherever they feel is fitting.
Yeah. So have they got any idea at all how much these zebras are going to go for? Because there's a lot of work gone into them, and presumably are they life-size zebras?
I think they're about 80% life-size, yes. So they go for tens of thousands. It's a great fundraiser for them, because they go for, I think the rhinos last year, they were each going for thousands, and a couple were sort of tens of thousands.
And what do people tend to do with them when they bought them?
Well, one of the rhinos was sponsored by the Aegeus Bowl in Southampton, and they actually do have their rhino outside the Aegeus Bowl. And so I think the bigger companies they want them to be exhibited and draw attention to their businesses. And also the schools, they have school-sized ones as well, so it's not all big stuff. It's not all huge rhinos. They also had little diddly school-sized rhinos as well, so they get auctioned off as well.
So it would be quite nice to have a little zebra in your back garden,
wouldn't it, when you look out of your window?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think maybe tens of thousands might just be a little bit too expensive for us, but you never know. So going back to your business, Renaissance Design, Karen, what sort of projects do you take on here? Do you have small ones, large ones?
I do lots of different things. The type of projects I take on are as varied as the people I work with. I can help you with anything from a small cushion to a complete refurbishment of a manor house with 25 bedrooms, and anything in between. I don't prejudge something, I always go and have a look at it, see who the people are, what they're after, and see whether or not we're going to gel. In fact, I had one of my largest contracts actually started with a single cushion, because this lady had made spent a couple of years doing a tapestry, and she said, I've done all this work on the tapestry and now I want to make it into a cushion and I don't own a sewing machine. Could you turn it into a cushion for me? And so, of course, I did, happily. And then she said to me, oh, yes, well, my friend does this and my friend does that and she'd be really interested to meet you. Do you make curtains as well? So I said, yes, of course, we just specialise in bespoke soft furnishings. And she introduced me, and this lady then booked me to do her entire house and her house in France as well. So it is... from a very small job came a very large job. So
when someone approaches you and you go along and meet them, do they expect you to come up with the ideas, or do they actually have their own ideas? And if they do, do you sometimes think, well, actually, if I were you, I wouldn't do this because it's not really going to look very good?
People come to me in different ways. Some people come to me with a mood board and they've collected clippings from magazines and they know exactly where they want to go. And other people come to me with their head in their hands going, I really don't know what to do. I know it needs doing, but I don't know what to do and I don't know how to go about it. So I do have those both sort of to deal with. But what happens is, for the people who are very clear, quite often what they want is not what they need. And you do gently have to steer them to a slightly better path.
So you have to be quite tactful in some ways, then.
Yes, I do my best.
Yeah. So when you go around to friends' houses, if anyone invites you around, of course, it must be quite embarrassing to come in and see you looking, thinking, she doesn't like that very much. Do you often find that things aren't as they should be, or are your friends sort of all into it because they know you so well?
Do you know what? When I look at people, go to friends' houses, I'm not there as an interior designer. I'm there as a friend, and I would never, unless they ask me specifically for my opinion, I wouldn't even go there.
And they can't tell from looking at your face what you're thinking.
I certainly hope not.
And you've recently won an industry award, haven't you? What was that for?
Yes, there's a business called House, which is the largest online platform for people renovating their homes, and apparently they have 35 million monthly users, and the award I got was their Best of 2016 Customer Service Award, and that was based on the feedback that clients had given me, and so it was an award that came directly from what clients said about the work that I've done, which makes me very happy.
Oh, that's very good. Well, congratulations. So what difference do you think it makes to have won that award? How has it helped your business?
I think it just gives people the confidence to know that I'm going to look after them, and that's really what I want to do.
And how did you win the award? Was it people nominating you, or they just decide to award
you? The process is that every review that I get goes towards a vote, so one review, one vote.
Oh, I see.
And it was for all the reviews that came in through 2015.
Oh, I see. Oh, fantastic. Well, 25 years is a fantastic accolade. How do you think you've managed to survive this long? What are your secrets?
I think a lot of support. My husband has been great throughout. I'm very lucky that when there have been dips and troughs, especially when we've had those recessions, and something like interior design is the first thing to go out of people's spend, because it is a complete luxury. So when the times have been tough, he's always been there, and it's his constant support has been absolutely amazing, and my parents as well. Everyone's behind me because they know how passionate I am about it, and I always say to my children, you never give up. So I have to put my money where my mouth is and just keep going because I love it so much.
Fantastic. And what are the latest homes interiors trends then?
Well, it's funnily enough, they do follow very much the catwalk trends. And coming into spring, there's always going to be blue. There's always going to be those sailor colours. But also there's coming into some really pretty colours as well. But the thing with interiors is you can't change your interiors like you change your fashion. So don't go with whatever is the latest trend. Go with what you love, because that will stand you through the test of time, because it's an investment. It's not a fad when you're doing up your home.
Yeah, because one of the things that's quite interesting is that carpets went out and everybody got this wooden flooring.
Yes.
And then carpets came back again.
Yes.
And now there seems to be a kind of mixture of the two.
It is, because when you put hard floor in, you really find how noisy your house becomes, especially with open plan living. And so you've got a kitchen, which is a very noisy place to live. And then you have a hard floor as well, and that just resonates so much. So you need to dampen that sound down with some soft furnishings. Otherwise, you just can't live in it. It just gives you a headache all the time.
So is it the design or the colour which is the most important part of making a good impression, do you think?
The design factor is important because it has to be functional. It has to work for what you and your family live like. And then the colour can reflect the personality. So my advice would be to have a good base colour, something either creams or greys. Then you can add something of a splash of colour too, so that that, if you want to do your spring summer colours and then your autumn winter colours, you can change your accessories to reflect those different changes in the season, but your base colour stays the same. And the design of where everything is going and where everything sits and how it all works with each other, that's the consistent part, because that's how your family will function in your space.
So do you tend to just work locally, or do you take on national projects?
I like to stay within about an hour and a half's drive, just purely because my children are still at school and I want to be around for them. However, I have driven 5 hours each way for a job, which was a bit of an epic. But I would happily go anywhere that a client would like me to go, as long as it's going to work for both of us.
Brilliant. Now, do you have any sort of top tips for anyone who's listening who might want to get into redesigning or recolouring their homes?
Do a bit of research so that you know what it is you want to achieve, whether it's a functionality overhaul you're doing or whether it's purely aesthetic. Work out the things you definitely do not like in your room. As I said before, sometimes the dislikes are actually more important to know for somebody like me than the likes. Put things in categories, so, and then in your room you'll have things that have got to stay, things that you might want to keep but not tie to completely, and those things that you would really like to introduce. And then you can then work out from those things how much clutter you can get out and then how much space you'll have to bring in and introduce new things.
Right. And if someone has done that and feels that they want your input, how would they get in touch with you?
They can give me a call at our office, which is in Hartley Whitney, on 01252220400, or they can email me, or they can just have a look at our website, which is www.interiordesignersuk.org.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming in, and one day, perhaps Jackie and I will have you round to give an opinion on our houses when we're feeling brave, shall we, Jackie?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming in, and good luck with the business, and certainly good luck with your zebras.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.